Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 41 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast, brought to you by TuesdayNightMovies.com. I'm Billy, and with me as always is Dave.
Hey guys.
And we have a special treat for you guys tonight. We have Nick Doyle on our podcast, who's Dave's occasional fill-in, and also the writer of our Gotham recaps on TuesdayNightMovies.com. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm fantastic. I'm glad this is the first time since our Outer Banks podcast, you know, the Tuesday Night Movies Beach House podcast, that the three of us have been on a podcast together.
True, yeah.
Yeah.
It took me that long to sober up.
I don't know. Looking at you right now, I'm not sure if you are completely sober.
I'm sober.
All right.
Yeah. Well, Dave is chugging a beer as he says he's sober. I actually might be the only sober one on this podcast.
I'm technically working right now, so.
Yeah, so if Nick disappears for a little while, that's because he's actually doing his 9-to-5 job.
He's working 9-to-5.
Your boss doesn't listen to the podcast, does he, Nick?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. So your coast is clear then.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about New York Comic Con today, but before we get into that, I want to talk about what books you guys are excited for coming out this Wednesday.
Veil number 5 by Greg Rucka. It's really creeping along. I might stop reading this and just wait for the trade.
Because it's not coming out on a monthly basis, right?
Yeah, it feels like it's just dragging out, and I keep being like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's a cool, creepy series, but the pacing on it's kind of slow, too. So it's I can see why it'd be hard to remember from month to month.
Right. I have a hard time remembering month to month any of the, like when any detailed oriented series, you know, like Why the Last Man, or Ex Machina. If I read it month to month, I'd always be like, "What's going on? I forget. I got to reread like 3 books." So
yeah, there are definitely comics that I enjoy reading in trade more than I enjoy reading month to month. I'd put Fables and Walking Dead in there.
Right.
I'm just too hooked on Fables too hooked on Walking Dead to let more than a month go by before I buy the issue, though.
Yeah, I just bought the last 2 trades this past week in that sale that Comixology was doing.
Nice.
So I'll be somewhat caught up again.
Yeah. Now, Nick, you're reading the Batman 66 books. Are you excited for this Batman 66 meets Green Hornet? Or not? I guess that's already been coming out, right?
Well, it has been. I get that in trades. I get the regular series in trades. I don't know if I'm going to get this when it comes out, though, just because of Kevin Smith, I guess, is the reason. I don't know. I haven't really liked much of his comic work ever, so I am nervous to read this.
Yeah.
And really?
Yeah. He's done some Batman stuff. So.
Right, and I don't like the Batman stuff that he's done. I really
I've never read his Batman. I've read the Daredevil stuff.
I liked Daredevil, but
and
that
Green
was
Green Arrow. I like Green Arrow.
Yeah, that's I forgot about Green Arrow, but the Batman stuff he has written, I did not like.
Yeah, I didn't like the widening gyre at all. And I don't know if it was because of the writing or the art on that. I really did not like the art. Mainly it was Joker's pube beard that was going on that really creeped me out.
Well, the guy that draws it is
turned you on.
A guy that drew that was just like his friend, like a guy that works in his comic book store or something.
Right. Yeah, it was Walt Flanagan, right?
Yeah. That's.
This might be pretty close to the Batman series, though, because of Ralph Garman. I know he's like a huge Batman 66 fan.
Okay.
And he's the guy who got what's his name, Adam West's star on Hollywood's Boulevard there.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he's. He's friends with Kevin Smith, and he's like a huge, like, he knows everything about the Batman 66 universe. So, you know, you might enjoy it. He might keep Kevin Smith in check.
That's cool. That's actually a cool endorsement. I didn't know that bit of trivia about him, that he got Adam West as Hollywood Walk of Fame star.
Yeah. He's been has a campaign for it for the past, 2 or 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
And it finally happened, or maybe more.
We also got a new issue of Justice League, written by Jeff Johns, art by Ivan Rice and Joe Prado. And this is the start of a new storyline. It looks like they're going to be battling, Amazo or Amazo. What do you guys say?
I always say Amazo because
I always say Amazo.
It's supposed to sound like amazing, you know?
Right.
All those 60s DC villains, you know, Despero, like desperate, you know, they just threw O's at the end of, you know, adjectives. Right.
It wasn't that he was a male at Amazon?
No.
Well, this is, the cover looks really cool, which makes me excited for it. But you know me, I love my Ivan Rice and my Joe Prado.
Yeah, can't blame you.
Yeah, and I'm liking this this whole Lex Luthor joins the Justice League thing that's been going on.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's been really fun to watch because the whole time you're reading, you're just like, when is Luthor going to turn on them?
Yeah.
And I think it's the first time that Luthor looks bad.
Oh, really?
Well,
looks like a bad guy. I don't know. It seems like he's actually trying hard to be a hero here.
I'm not saying that he looks like a bad guy. I think, you know, like, say they're out doing something good, and he made to look like a buffoon.
Gotcha.
Maybe not by, you know, anyone's fault, but he will blame it on the league, because that's how Luthor operates. Like,
okay.
You know, much like how he, you know, post-crisis. Way back in the Silver Age, he blamed Superboy for the loss of his hair, when it really wasn't Superboy's fault. But, you know, like, and, you know, he will never accept that, you know, maybe he did something wrong.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now I'm going to jump down to Marvel for a minute. I want to talk about this book, Edge of Spider-Verse number 5. I've only read one Edge of Spider-Verse book. It's an anthology, though, so like one book doesn't really lead into the other. But the one I read, which was the Gwen Stacy Spider-Woman issue, was really good. This one has a completely different character and a completely different creative team. But what makes me excited about it is that it's written by Gerard Way, who is the writer of Umbrella Academy from Dark Horse, and also the lead singer of the band who sings Welcome to the Black Parade.
My Chemical Romance.
Thank you, Nick. I don't know why I was blanking on that. I'm excited for this issue. It looks cool. It's like a robot spider, like a cyborg Spider-Man. And the art looks really cool, too.
I'm trying to... Edge of Spider-Verse. Oh, yeah, that does look cool.
Yeah, and the preview art I've seen of it looks really cool as well. Like, the more we get of these Spider-Verse times...
Oh, that I know who is drawing that. That's actually awesome.
Jake Wyatt, you're familiar with his work?
Yeah, he does. Hold on, let me just make sure real quick using the internet. yeah, he does a comic called Necropolis that is a web comic, he started to do it online, and then I think people kind of flipped out about it, and I think it's going to be published. Like, it hasn't really started yet. But I remember just finding it on like Tumblr, and I really, really liked his art. And I guess they kind of put the internet stuff on hold, and it's going to come out for real rather than just him posting drawings on his Tumblr. But I guess he's also doing this Spider-Man book.
Yeah, and the more I look at this cover, the more I like it. It's hyper detailed. Like the amount of just detail that he puts into all the cables, like the cables themselves that are coming out of Spider-Man's head and neck, just look so cool.
Yeah, that does look awesome, and it kind of he has this really looks a lot like where you go, oh, I could see where Deadpool's costume was totally ripped off of Spider-Man's.
That's funny. It does kind of look like the Deadpool armored head from Arrow.
From Arrow. Oh, the Deathstroke armored head.
Deathstroke, I'm sorry.
Wait. Deadpool and Deathstroke are nothing alike.
They don't even sound alike.
Yeah, Slade Wilson, Wade Wilson. You know which one's which.
Yeah. The Wilson twins.
Speaking of Spider-Verse, did you hear the news about your Gwen Stacy Spider-Man?
Yeah, she's getting an ongoing series, and it looks like...
You had wished for that right after you read it. You were like, I want an ongoing series of this.
I'm glad that Marvel is listening to the podcast.
Yeah. They...
I believe it's going to be by the same creative team, so that makes me really excited.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and they also said that that might not be the only ongoing series that comes out of Spider-Verse. So if this Gerard Way, Jake Wyatt's Edge of Spider-Verse issue is cool, I wouldn't mind seeing this guy have his own series as well.
Yeah, this looks pretty cool.
Yeah. So as I'm looking through the other books coming out this week, it seems like, thankfully, a pretty like light week.
Fantastic Four number 11 is coming out.
Oh, and we're on the road to that series coming to its conclusion.
Right, right. The end of the Fantastic Four. It looks like it's going to be quite the trip.
At New York Comic Con this weekend, James Robinson was on the Axel in Charge, Axel Alonso's panel, and he was talking about this, the end run for Fantastic Four, and he thinks that the fans are going to love it.
Well, I've been loving the series so far, and it's been, he's definitely picked up where Matt Fraction and Jonathan Hickman left off, and put his own twist on it, and they definitely there's been some turmoil and some twists, and it's been a great read every month or every couple issues in a month. So I'm looking forward to it, even if it means that this is the end of the Fantastic Four for the near future, for whatever reason.
Yeah, and he had nothing but... It's funny that you brought up Matt Fraction and Jonathan Hickman, because he was saying that he felt it was a tough act to follow the two of them. And he was building on both of their both of the things that they wrote in their issues when he was entering into his.
Right, yeah, and I feel like Jonathan Hickman's run was epic, and then, Matt Fraction's, was short, but still, amazing. So, he was following in some, some pretty big footsteps.
Now, also coming out this week is Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 16. Do you guys read this series?
I don't.
I do not.
I don't either, and I hear nothing but good things about it. I feel like I'm missing out. I feel like all three of us are missing out.
Yeah, we probably are.
That is another series that's going to be wrapping up soon, but I've yet to hear one bad thing about it from someone who's read it.
I'm sure it's great. It's written by Nick Spencer, right? Who writes Morning Glories? That's right.
I think the early issues of it might be available in that Marvel Comics Unlimited app. So I'm going to try to give those a shot.
Yeah, I bit the bullet. Did that this weekend.
Yeah. Welcome to the Marvel Comics Unlimited ranks, Dave.
Yeah.
Have you explored the app at all?
Just a little bit, just to see how you can sort and if any comic book app developers or companies are listening right now, what I want to do is to make my own reading list in your app, much like Netflix to watch queue.
You can kind of do that in the app. They have you can add things to your library. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like your watch queue.
And can you sort them like how you want to read in order?
I'm not sure about that. It might just default to alphabetical or when you added it.
Yeah. See, that's what I want, because I want to be like, okay, I want to read this, and then I want to read this, and I want to read, say I want to read all of Greg Rucka and Ed Brubaker's books.
Right.
But in chronological order. I want to be able to mix them, and if you can't do it for me, I want to do it for myself.
I get what you're saying.
You know
what I would like them to add to the app is make it easier for, if I'm interested in reading Infinity, if I read Infinity number 1, I want to be able to go not only to Infinity number 2, but also all the tie-ins without having to hunt around and figure out, which tie-ins come in what order.
Right. I'd like there to be, in both in Comixology and... in this Marvel Unlimited app, it would be amazing if you had company lists and like, you know, fan lists where you could, like, the company could be like, you know, Green Lantern books, Rebirth and Beyond. And it's like all the books in order. And they have one in trade form, one in, you know, single issue, and it just how to read them.
Right.
I think that would be awesome. And, you know, like, you know, and also give fans, you know, to do that, like, say, like, you know, these are the best Storm stories ever. You need to read this if you're a fan of Storm.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never really considered that before. That would be cool. I wonder if that would be a good place. I wonder if you'd find that kind of thing, you know, like on message boards. I wonder just how hard that would be to incorporate into the app, you know?
So many
people would make so many lists.
Right. I don't think it would be that hard to do, considering that Amazon was built on lists, and Comixology has been purchased by Amazon.
Right, but I was thinking about the Marvel Comics Unlimited app, which Comixology doesn't make it to do.
Yeah. That might be a little more difficult to do. I'm not sure, you know. But right. That would be, you know, and again, like, you know, maybe Marvel Unlimited is just, you know, their, you know, their specific list, but, you know.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to do a podcast where Ms. Marvel is coming out and not recommend Ms. Marvel. Ms. Marvel number 9 is out this week. G. Willow Wilson, of course, is writing it. Regular artist Adrian Alfana is doing the art, which makes me happy. And we even get a cover by Jamie McKelvey this month, which is always a treat. I love his art.
Yeah.
You guys are both reading this series, right?
I read the first issue, but I haven't read more than that so far.
Oh, you're missing out.
It is so good.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a series that you need to start reading, Nick.
I know. I buy so many comics, though.
I'm gonna go through your pull list and drop in a title that you need to read. But then you would do the same for me, I'm guessing, with Hellboy and Atomic Roomba.
Probably.
I think Nick would be actually like cut like 7 comics that I'm reading and be like, none of these are as good as Atomic Roomba. So this looks like a really cool issue of Ms. Marvel. Why? Because she gets a pet dog, and that pet dog happens to be Lockjaw.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she's got, like, a connection to the Inhumans in that post-Infinity, this Terrigen mist bomb goes off, and new Inhumans are created, and that's how Kamala Khan gets her powers. And people are really loving this series. I went to a panel this weekend at New York Comic Con, where G. Willow Wilson was, that panels where she was on the panel, and during the Q&A, people were just basically praising her book. And then I saw a lot of Ms. Marvel cosplay too, like a lot of Kamala Khan's walking around, easily
wow.
Like 10 throughout the weekend. Yeah, it was definitely a popular costume. So did I miss any new books coming out that you guys would recommend?
There's not anything jumping out at me. Yeah.
Not WWE Superstars number 9?
No, I've heard good things about that Lumberjanes book, which has an issue coming out, but I don't know. I haven't read it ever, so I don't know.
I've been working my way through all the number 1s that I have downloaded from the New York Comic Con pass.
Those 40 free issues that Comixology gave out?
Right, and in addition to, like, the week before, it was, like, comic book day, and they just gave out, you know, like, 20 free books, and I had a couple of, you know, one-shots and stuff, like, hanging around, so I was like, I'm just gonna, like, read through all of these, so that's on my list to get to, but I've been going in alphabetical order, just because it just seemed like good enough to do it that way, and, the app goes in alphabetical order, so I read like quite a few one shots this week or this weekend, and or not one shots, but one shots and number ones, and it's interesting, you know, especially with like your Image and your indie titles. Like sometimes I am glad that I wait for the trade, because sometimes that first book, It doesn't grab me, but I'm like, this might be good, but I don't know if I want to, you know, like, I don't know if I would have invested in a number 2 or if I if I would, you know. But like, if I read a full trade, a lot of times I'm like, yeah, this is right on.
Yeah. Well, were there any of number ones that you were reading that made you excited for the second issue?
Yeah. Yeah. Afterlife with Archie, which you had talked about, I think last week, loved it.
Afterlife with Archie is fantastic.
Yeah, and I keep meaning to buy the trade of that, but I've read a few of those, and it's great.
Yeah, I just finished the first trade of that last week, and it got me so excited, I went out and bought the Sabrina horror comic that they released last Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah,
did you read it?
Yeah. I didn't have a chance to read it yet. I did get it signed by the artist at New York Comic Con, though.
And cool.
He assured me that if I like Afterlife with Archie, I'll probably like this one, too.
Sweet. I read Alex plus Ada.
How was that?
I was intrigued by the end. It's a little creepy, mm-hmm. But good. I liked it. I read All New Soulfire, which, no.
Oh. I'm not familiar with Soulfire. Is that an Image title?
Yeah, it's like one of those, like, Michael Turner women looking, you know, like Fathom.
Gotcha.
Played, you know, a lot of crazy, incorrect female anatomy. You know. I read Black Science by
Rick Remender.
Rick Remender. I just found it okay. Like, that was one of the ones where I was like, I think this is probably going to be a good book, but I don't know. This was just like an okay read.
I love that series. I'm such a big Black Science fan. Nick, do you read Black
really?
Science?
I haven't read it. The book of his that I've been really liking is Low, which just the third issue came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you recommended that to me a couple of times. I really do have to check that out. The art styles look pretty similar. It's not the same artist, though, right?
I don't think so. Is Deadly Class?
As Black Science.
Oh, no, I'm not sure. Who draws Black Science?
I think it's Matteo Scalera.
No, this is, let me see, I have the third issue right in front of me. It is, Tocchini is the last name? It is Greg Tocchini.
Yeah, that's who he worked with on The Last Days of American Crime.
Okay.
I think he did the Britannia arc of Uncanny X-Force with Rick Remender. They work together a lot. I like his art. It's very fluid.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I read Cal, and I loved that, you've talked about.
Yeah, Cal's another great series. Kyle Higgins was at New York Comic Con this weekend. They actually released a limited edition hardcover of the Cal trade, and I believe it sold out very quickly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. I read Dave with a 4 for the A from Monkey Brain.
Right.
That was great. Loved that. I would pick that up. Bunker, which was a kind of like time travel slash post-apocalyptic comic from Oni Press. Really good. Liked it a lot. Really cool artwork. Written by, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I'll have to look that up, but it was really good. I definitely pick up another issue of that.
All right, sweet. Let's talk about a comic that came out last week, Batgirl number 35. Any of you guys read this book?
I haven't read it yet. I bought it at Comic-Con, but I have not read it.
Yeah, you bought it, got it signed by Babstar, but didn't get a chance to read it. All right, I read it today. It's awesome. I highly recommend it. This is going straight to my pull list. I'm loving I love the first issue of the series, and I hope they keep this up. Recently on the podcast, David and I had said that, you know, there seems to be like a house style at DC, and Marvel was really willing to like let creators have a little more freedom in the stories they told.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this and Gotham Academy are DC's attempt at like branching out.
Yeah, I hope they do.
Nick, did you read Gotham Academy by any chance?
No, that was they ended up in my luggage yesterday, so I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
Didn't make it into the carry-on, huh?
No.
Yeah, both those books I recommend.
But they're actually on my list to read tonight.
Okay. Yeah, should have delayed an hour to record.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. So, let's see. I read Batgirl. I didn't read much else besides Batgirl, but Batgirl was great.
Wow, great. So how was New York Comic Con, guys?
New York Comic Con was fantastic.
It was really fun. I think it might be the best one that I've gone to.
That's awesome. High praise. Yeah. It was terrific. Now Nick came Thursday and Friday. I was there all 4 days. Here's a crazy thing about Sunday. It was more crowded Sunday than it was on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah. Saturday, I was still able. It was crowded, but we were able to like walk around and like walk freely and get from point A to point B without too much difficulty. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, it was shuffle stepping the entire time.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's because it's Kids Day, and it wasn't so much the kids, but like the parents who this was the only day that they were there, and they just did not seem to know how to like navigate aisles. You know what I mean? Like it was kind of like trying to walk through Times Square, where everybody's looking either down at their phones or you know at like all the attractions, and they're just not moving. But all 4 days was a lot of fun. Nick, did anything like stand out for you at Comic-Con this year?
Well, I don't know. I was talking to a friend earlier about it today, about how like I think part of the reason that I liked it, I had so much fun, is I didn't really have any goals for anything. Like the only book that I brought that I really, really, really wanted to get signed was the first Starman, because James Robinson had, I guess he was going to come last year, but then didn't.
And yeah, he canceled the year like before. Last minute.
But so I almost wasn't going to come this year to New York Comic Con just because of just not really being able to. But when I saw that he was actually coming, I decided to kind of make as much of an effort as I could to get there. But other than that, I didn't really have any plans. So I just kind of, I brought like, well, I decided I would bring the first issues of Spider-Man and X-Men and X-Force. And see if I could get Liefeld and McFarlane and Lee to sign them, just as like a early 90s Nick at 11 years old, or however old I was, hat trick.
Yeah.
But like I had no plan necessarily for the Comic Con. I was just going in to like wander around. So I thought that was actually not having like the stress of like, oh well, I've got to be in this line to get this guy to sign this thing at this time. Like it made it a lot of fun.
But not only did you have that goal of the hat trick, you completed that goal.
I did. I did complete the hat trick.
Yeah, you and got...
I did get a picture with the Rob because I felt like I had to.
That picture is fantastic, too. I think I want to use that as the like cover image for this podcast episode.
It's basically, I've only ever gotten a picture taken with one comic artist ever, and that was Sergio Aragonés, who for me is like my very favorite comic book artist.
Right.
But I saw like some dude get his picture taken with Rob Liefeld, and I was like, I'm going to do it. And when I got up to him and he signed my book, I'm like, can I get a picture with you? And he literally clapped his hands and was like, let's do it. Which I just like, I think the thing I like about Rob Liefeld is he is so 100% Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, that is like the kind of enthusiasm that you would expect from him, which is, you know, say what you will about Rob Liefeld, but that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So Nick, you're really discovering like 14. You're like rediscovering your 14-year-old self with these signatures.
I guess so.
Yeah, and I also got Todd McFarlane's signature. I had him sign the Spanish language version of Torment, which is Tormento, which I picked up in Madrid this past spring. And I asked him to basically sign it totally in Spanish. He wrote, "Hola Guillermo." You know, Todd McFarlane, but then I also had him write in Practica, which translates to advantageous. And if you ever read Todd McFarlane's first 5 issues of Spider-Man, you'd know what advantageous is. Basically, it's his favorite
word.
It's
his web line.
Yeah, his web line is advantageous, or it's Practica.
Oh, also, Adam West, I made Adam West laugh, and he winked at me.
Yeah, Dave, this is a great story. You're going to want to listen to this one.
So we were in line or in the press room for the Batman 66 DVD interview thing, and it was just kind of a room full of people. It was sort of crowded, but it was definitely not organized. And Billy and I just kind of walk in, and we're standing by the wall. And, you know, there's a bunch of people in there, and I wasn't paying any attention to anybody in there, really. And all of a sudden, this person comes up between us and is like, he's like, do you know when this thing's going to start or something? he's like, who's running this show?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
And we turn and look at him, and it's TV's Adam West. I just look at him, and I'm like, sir, are you supposed to be here? This is a ticketed event. And he just guffawed.
He's like,
and then he like gave me like a wink and then kind of moseyed on to the entrance to shake hands with everybody that was coming into the room.
Wow.
What is up with people winking at you this weekend?
I don't know. Todd McFarlane winked at me too. It was a pretty, I didn't feel particularly attractive, but I mean, I don't know.
Nick really brought it to Comic-Con this weekend.
Yeah, he was sounds like it.
He was cosplaying as Starfire. Not many people know that. yeah, when we were online to get Todd McFarlane's autograph, Nick was in front of me, and Todd McFarlane is sitting in the seat, and he's like, hey, big guy, and winks at Nick.
Which I didn't appreciate the big guy, but, you know, whatever.
I don't think he was fat-shaming you.
I don't know. I think he may have been.
I think he was talking about your biceps. He was like, this guy does CrossFit.
I was
like if you're not like, you know, like supremely overweight, if someone says big guy, they're never talking about your weight.
All right.
But, he was standing crotch level, so who knows what he was referring to.
Yeah, was your fly down?
Yeah,
in honor of Rob Liefeld, my jeans were button flies.
Did you say that to Rob when you took your picture with him?
No, actually, our friend Amanda, who was at the convention, I was telling her about the Spike Lee commercial because I was trying to explain to her like who Rob Liefeld is in like comics, in like the world of comics, and I said something and she was like are your pants a zipper pants or are your jeans zipper jeans, and I said actually no, I should have said it. But
oh man, yeah, this was if you were a fan of like the Image Founders, this was a good convention to be at. Jim Lee was there, Rob Liefeld was there, Todd McFarlane, Eric Larson both there.
Eric Larson was there, yeah.
Yeah, I saw he was at his table a lot on Sunday. I didn't notice him in Artist Alley the rest of the weekend, but on Sunday he was at his table all day.
Yeah, I saw him post a bunch of sketches on his Twitter, but I never saw him. But I'm sure there are whole chunks of the convention center that I didn't come near, so.
Yeah, another funny story from New York Comic Con occurred when Nick, myself, and a few other friends were wandering around the convention floor, and there was a booth selling merchandise for Welcome to the Night Vale, and then next to it was one of those booths that was, I don't know, selling anime stuff. I really didn't understand it. It looked like short dresses for girls, and here's what I hear. I can totally see your butt in that voice, and then I hear, you can see my butt. And I turn to, like, see what, you know, is making this sound, because I'm expecting that that child from Legend, the one with the really deep voice, the Tom Cruise movie, to be talking to another version of himself, or, you know, two, like, 60-year-old men who walked out of Duck Dynasty. But instead, it was, like, two of the tiniest girls I've ever seen in my life, both wearing these insanely, like, short dresses, and they're just, like, I can see your butt. And the other one said, you can see my butt? Yeah, I can see your butt. It's so cute. And it freaked me the hell out.
It was Sling Blade cosplay.
That's an awesome Billy Bob Thornton. And it was, so I've always feared the block, which is that part of New York Comic Con that I can't quite define. It's called the block. It's like where most of the anime stuff is, most of like the graffiti artists and people who like paint their own toys are there. I think they took the leather people out of the block and moved them to another part of the convention. And it turns out they're actually the people that I was afraid of the most in the block, and that's where these girls were. Because the block was actually really fun this year. GroupMe was at the block, Dave.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I won a GroupMe t-shirt. Like, and
now you have two.
Yeah, that's true. I won my second GroupMe t-shirt. I explained to them that I'm a GroupMe power user and that my my friends and I joke around, since we've been using the app so long, that we like to joke around that we founded GroupMe.
What did they say?
They laughed. They had a photo booth set up where you could take photos with their, you know, their custom emojis, their little blue heads, and and also they raffled off an Xbox One, which I'm guessing I did not win. But I did win when I spun the wheel of prizes. I won a emoji pack, so I'll be able to use emojis that other people don't have access to.
Only
staff has access to. I'm really excited for that. But then the girl who was manning the wheel is like, well, you know, since you love GroupMe so much, I'm going to give you a t-shirt too. And I was like, sweet.
Oh, jeez.
Basically, I was like selling GroupMe back to them for 10 minutes while I was waiting online.
No, but do you understand how awesome your product is?
Yeah, they were basically like, oh, do you have GroupMe on your phone? Because you need to download it if you want to spin this wheel and win a t-shirt or a water bottle or some other stuff. And I was like, have it on my phone. It's on my home screen. I was like, I've got like 20 GroupMe groups. 10 of them are with the exact same people just discussing different things. And the staff there, they were like, oh, we do the same thing.
Yeah, man. It's great.
I saw at least I saw at least a half dozen guys cosplaying Nick Doyle at New York Comic Con this year.
It's a very popular costume. It's deceptively difficult to pull off.
That is true. Yeah. So back to New York Comic Con for a second. Adam West, I was like, Nick, you want to interview Adam West? And he's like, he's going to be mean to me. He's like, what if he's mean to me? And then he ended up being like Nick's best friend once we were in that room.
Wow, yeah, we've had a couple of really good talks since Friday.
Do you guys just did he join GroupMe? Do you guys just have like a Nick and Adam GroupMe?
No, he's actually the only person on the planet that I don't feel uncomfortable with talking on the telephone.
Does he call you from a red bat phone?
Not only does he do that, he calls me chum.
So that explains what's going on. And Burt Ward, you know, is getting a little old, and he needs a new Robin, and you're going to be Robin too.
Yeah.
You're his Jason Todd.
I'm his Jason Todd.
Yeah. Watch out for Cesar Romero and a crowbar.
Cesar Romero's dead. I think it's safe.
Watch out for the ghost of Cesar Romero and a crowbar. But did we see Cesar Romero's body? Like, the Joker has quote-unquote died a bunch of times, and we never see the body, and then he inevitably comes back. It's like when he fell into the river at the end of Death in the Family. That man and that mustache are coming for you, Nick. Just watch your back. That's all I'm saying. Also at New York Comic Con, Dave, I interviewed Mike Tyson.
Wow.
Yeah. Also a very charming man.
I believe it.
Yeah, very funny. I'm going to have that video up hopefully sometime this week. And I'm trying to think what other big things. Oh, the other thing that Nick unfortunately wasn't around for is on Sunday they had the Marvel Unlimited Plus members panel.
Oh, yeah.
Which is awesome. They showed footage from Ant-Man, the new Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon, the Agent M series, which is coming to ABC next year, and they also showed about 3 minutes of Avengers 2, Avengers Age of Ultron.
Wow.
Guys, this movie's going to rock. I think it's going to be even better than the first one.
Awesome.
Don Cheadle's in it as War Machine, so it's going to be like a slightly bigger lineup. Don Cheadle makes every movie better. They showed the trailer, or not the trailer, they showed this like these clips, and it ended, and they were like, do you have any questions? And I just yelled out, can I see it? Can we see it again? And Agent M is like, sure, and presses play. And they had Marvel creators on the panel for this, and they were as excited as the people in the audience. Like Dan Slott, the look on Dan Slott's face, he just had his jaw open and his arms up at the end of it. Like, he was super excited for it. Basically, what they showed was a scene where all the Avengers are sitting around hanging out, and Hawkeye calls out Mjolnir, saying that it's just like a parlor trick, and the reason nobody can pick up Thor's hammer is because Thor the hammer. And then the scene is everybody trying to pick up the hammer. And it was that movie will be worth the price of admission just based on this scene.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Unfortunately, like, this is the same scene. I think this is the same clip that they showed at San Diego Comic-Con. You cannot find this scene online anywhere. They are hardcore about this not being on the internet.
Wow.
But all I can say is, yeah, Avengers 2 is going to be awesome, and Ant-Man is going to be awesome, too.
How was Ant-Man's trailer? Was it good?
Ant-Man's trailer was great. It was Ant-Man in costume, so you don't see Paul Rudd's face, but you hear him talking through his comm device to Michael Douglas, who is playing Hank Pym. So Hank Pym is the creator of the Ant-Man costume. Paul Rudd's playing Scott Lang. They don't really explain what their relationship is, but it looks almost—it's almost like a Batman Beyond kind of thing, where Hank Pym is mentoring and guiding Paul Scott Lang in this movie.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and it sounds like Hank Pym is not a fan of superheroes. It's just based on the dialogue that they had, but it looked really cool. You see Ant-Man trying to escape from like some heist or some place he was breaking into and trying to escape on the back of an ant. And, of course, for dramatic reasons, things go wrong. But just the special effects and everything look super in it.
Awesome. That looks that sounds cool.
Yeah, I think both movies are going to be dope. Yeah. And then other things at New York Comic Con. The art auction, once again, was great.
Cool.
Yeah, sketches were a lot of fun. I picked up some new Spider-Man sketches for my Spider-Man sketchbook.
Awesome.
I counted recently. I think I have about 50 in there now.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely over 40. Maybe I gotta recount again. I'm not the best at numbers. It's gonna end up being 12. yeah. And Nick, anything else from New York Comic Con like jump out at you?
No, not really. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think that's because we had like a big crew from Tuesday Night Movies there. So you know, it was a lot of fun just wandering around together.
Yeah.
Checking out the different things. If anybody listening to this has never been to New York Comic Con, I definitely recommend going next year. And if you were there, the last time you went was like 3 years ago when it was super crowded because of all the Javits construction. It's definitely changed since then. They've definitely done a better job of like laying it out. So, yeah, I highly recommend that to everybody. So, guys, I think this is going to wrap up the podcast. I can't really think of anything else. We did New York Comic Con. We did last week's books. We did this coming week's books. Anything else jump out at you?
Not really.
Oh, wait. There was something else I wanted to talk about. Marvel sent out a press release today for Civil War number one coming in the summer of 2015. And all I can say is WTF. Because even the design of the image looks like the Civil War covers from when this was a book in the late, you know, latter part of last decade.
I wonder, my one guess is, does it tie into, like, they don't show the X-Men in here, but, you know, I feel like the X-Men have been screwing up the timeline pretty hardcore with, you know, all the original X-Men, the younger selves being in, you know, the present day.
Mm-hmm.
And what that could, what ramifications that could have.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I'm looking at the image right now. You know, it's Spider-Man back in his Tony Stark-designed Iron Spider suit, and also Tony Stark is in the Iron Man armor that he was wearing during Civil War. Like, it's not the Iron Man armor he wears today.
Right.
It's basically Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Captain America both pulling Spider-Man. Though it doesn't seem like they're pulling him in different directions. It seems like they're just both like pushing him forward. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's like, you know, in Civil War, Spider-Man was like the heart of it, where was he on Iron Man's side, was he on Captain America's side? So I guess this image is referring to that, but I'm just so confused right now. They're bringing back Secret Wars. They announced that at New York Comic Con. Jonathan Hickman is going to be doing that, and it looks like it's going to be a cross-dimensional, like, regular Marvel Earth versus Ultimate Marvel Earth versus the M2 Earth, like, all these different Marvel realities coming converging on each other.
Wow.
And now we have Civil War. Yeah. Who else is confused? Raise your hand.
I believe everybody. Everybody is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm hopefully we'll get more developments on that. So, yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast. Guys, I appreciate you both taking time out to do this.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
And, you know, Nick, you're always welcome back. We can make this a triumvirate.
Sure.
Anything. Like, yeah, maybe. Yeah. It's connecting right now. All right, guys. Well, have a good night. And everybody out there, have a great Tuesday night.